To Colossians chapter 4, and I love our Sunday school lesson this morning. Perfect lesson for me. It's kind of right where I am in my Christian life, and it's a lesson about prayer. And prayer is a fascinating subject to me. Do you believe in prayer? Do you really believe in prayer? I believe in prayer. I mean, I could sit here and tell you so many answered prayer stories in my life. Prayer is something that, just as a Christian woman, I want to know more about. I want to grow in regards to prayer. And so this lesson is going to take a little different slant on prayer. Hello, girls. This is a friend of our family, Brianna Pearson and Madison. I'm glad to have you, Brianna. And, anyway, I think you're going to find this lesson very challenging, very encouraging, and I hope it stirs you up. So let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the privilege that is ours just to get up this morning, to have the health, to have our minds, to be strong in our bodies, to be able to make this choice, to come and sit before your word. Father, your word is powerful. Your word is living. Your word gives us direction. Your word is, in my estimation, our most needed thing. We need to know it. We need to follow it. We need to memorize it. We need to reflect upon it. We need to obey it. And so, Father, this morning, would you just speak very personally to us through your word? And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on in. Good morning. How are you? I knew we were going to have some scragglers, so y'all just come on in and make yourself at home. All right, now we're in Colossians chapter 4 this morning. We started this study, oh my goodness, I think it was about 6 weeks ago. It was the week after Easter. And I wanted to do a study about the risen, since Christ is risen, what does that mean for me? Come on in, Amy. Good morning. And so when you get to Colossians, and we've been studying Colossians 3 and Colossians 4, Paul calls us new. He says, since you've been risen with Christ, and we talked a lot about our identification, about what it means when you become a Christian, that you are actually placed in Christ Jesus. Now, what does that mean practically for us? That I'm born again, that I've had a transformation, and God has actually legally taken me. I've been buried with Christ, raised with Him, and I've been risen with Him in order to walk in a new way of life. And so that's what we've been looking at in Colossians 3. And in verses 5 through 9, I'm just going to do a little bit of review just to kind of bring us up to steam. In those verses, we learned that the new man, and that's what Paul calls us if we're in Christ, he puts off some old patterns of his life. So there's some things that he takes off, and then in verses 9 through 14, there are some things that he puts on. And then we looked in verse 15, and we found in 15, 16, and 17 some general rules for the life of the new man. And the first rule in verse 15 was that we let the peace of Christ rule in our lives. I love that study, learning about what that meant. And in verse 16, we let the word of Christ dwell within us richly. And then in verse 17, we're guided by the name of the Lord, that in whatever we do it all in His name. We want to bring honor to His name. And then in verses 18, all the way to chapter 4, verse 1, we learned about, okay, first, personally, you change because you're in Christ. You put off some things, you put on some things. The next place that transformation is going to dramatically impact is where? Where? Well, that was our last week's lesson. And Sunday, you talked to me the week before. And it's in your home. And in that portion of Scripture, he just fires out these one verse commands to wives, to husbands, to children, to parents, to slaves, and to masters. And that covers every relationship in the home of that day. And now today, we're going to be thinking about, okay, it impacts us personally, it impacts our home, and now we're going to go beyond our home to the relationships outside our home. Look at verse 5 with me. It says to conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of every opportunity. And so we're going to be walking in wisdom toward those who are on the outside. And so now our focus is going to be, okay, what is it going to do if I'm Christ? How is that going to affect people outside of my home? Now look at verse 6, because we're going to be talking about, and what we're going to see, first of all, is that it's going to impact our mouths. Now, I don't know about you. Do you have a problem with your mouth? Is your mouth just the hardest thing to really tame and to deal with? My mouth gets me into more trouble. I mean, sometimes something will come out of my mouth and immediately I think, why did I say that? I didn't want to say that. And I just try to say only that which edifies. Only that which edifies. That's just kind of my watchword. But it's so, so hard. Look at verse 6. He says there, let your speech be always seasoned with grace, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Now, that's just really true. When you become a Christian and you're born again, it's going to affect your mouth. It really is. You know how you can tell a person is for real or not? Just listen to their speech. Because out of the heart, what happens? A man speaks. And so your speech gives evidence to what's in your heart. And so a truly born-again woman will have a changed speech. Now, as I said, this is just one of my biggest struggles as a Christian. Because women like to talk, don't they? And we like to share what we know. There's a verse out of the Living Bible in Proverbs that I just love. And it says this, only a fool blurts out everything he knows. Because a lot of times we say, well, it's the truth. It's the truth. Well, you know what? The truth doesn't always edify. And if the truth doesn't build up those who are listening, I need to shut my mouth, don't I? And we studied this in the book of James. You know, the book in James talks about how little small things have big effects. He talks about consider the bit in the horse's mouth. It's a small thing, but it just controls the whole horse. And consider the rudder of a ship. It's very small, but it gives direction to a huge vessel. So is the tongue. So is the tongue. And James says the tongue is like a fire that's set on by hell. In other words, my tongue can be such an instrument of hell if I don't control my tongue. And then James says, you know, how can sweet water and salt water come out of the same fountain? That doesn't make sense, does it? And he's just pointing to the power of the tongue. Now today I'm just going to cover one verse. And let's look at it together. Verse 2. He says there, devote yourselves to prayer. Now, I like the version that says continue in prayer. Continue in prayer. And then he says keeping alert in it, or another word that your version may say is watch, with an attitude of thanksgiving. Now listen, because I'm in Christ. Good morning, Karen. Glad you're here. Because I'm in Christ, I've been born again. I've been buried with him. I died with him. And now I've been raised to walk in a new way of life. I now have the privilege to pray. Now prayer, I believe, is our most valued possession as a Christian, to be able to pray. And as I said, I'm always exploring more effective ways to pray. I believe in prayer. I know prayer. I was visiting with Patty Sue. Patty Sue is under an umbrella. She's not an International Mission Board missionary because she was not rejected. So she's under the umbrella of an organization called Cornerstone. I'm not sure exactly where they're located, but they are prayer warriors. And she says just the most amazing things about how they come to her. They walk over all the property. They pray. I mean, they just, I'm so impressed. And they're also associated with another, it's a school, I wrote it down, it's Kansas City House of Prayer. That place prays 24 hours a day. I said, just tell me what it's like. How? What do they do? She said, well, they're very specific in how they pray. And they incorporate a lot of praise and worship music. So it's prayer, praise, worship, the word, prayer, praise, worship, the word. She says it's going on 24 hours a day. I'm like, wow, I want to go there. I want to go there. But I believe that prayer is the most important speech that your mouth will ever utter. It's your most important conversation, and that's on your handout. It's our most important conversation. Now, what I want us to do today is just get challenged in our spirits about prayer. It's also a weapon that's used against the attacks of our enemy. It's a weapon. Prayer is a weapon. You pick up the Word of God, Ephesians says, praying at all times in all ways. It's a weapon. It's also, I think I put this on there, it's what we use to confess when we mess up. You know, if I mess up, which I do quite often, especially with my mouth, I immediately go in prayer to God, I confess it. God, that was wrong. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have said that. I confess it. I use prayer to praise. I use prayer to lift up my voice in praise to God. And I also use prayer because I have a sympathetic high priest that I can run to when I'm in a needy time or a time of need, I think is how I put it on your handout. And it's what I use to intercede for other people too. I've got the privilege to go right into God's throne room, and I have these divine resources at my hands where I can pray on behalf of another person who is in trouble. Now, notice the first part of that verse. And this is number one on the outline. We're just going to look at this verse in three parts. Number one is continue in prayer. Or my version said, devote yourselves to prayer. Now, notice he doesn't say, just pray. He says, I want you to be devoted to it. I want you to really continue in prayer. Now, can you honestly tell me this morning you're devoted to prayer? We're busy, aren't we? We think about it. We want to be devoted to prayer. We want to be women who continue in prayer. Let's look at the word in the Greek. The Greek word for continue means strong. It means to be steadfast. It means to endure, to persevere. It has the idea that you're going to hang in there. You're going to really hang in there. Now, what does this mean that I'm going to persevere in prayer? I'm going to continue in prayer. I'm going to be devoted to prayer. Does that mean I just go all day long? I'm constantly in my closet, on my face, before God, alone, praying, writing out my prayers. I think there are two aspects here that I want us to look at. Number one, I think what this basically means is that I am to have a general God consciousness in my daily living. A general God consciousness. Now, what do you mean by that, Teresa? Well, here's what I mean. I see everything that happens in my life in reference to God. That's what I mean by that. Anything that happens in my life, everything that happens in my life becomes cause for me to run to have communion with God. I'm out. I hear a bad report. I get a bad message on an email. I hear something serious about someone else. Just learned about an old classmate who has lung cancer and is not doing well. I can immediately run to God's throne room and pray. Or I hear something really good. I hear a praise. I can immediately run to God's throne room and praise. If I learn of someone who has a need, I can immediately take that need to God. Say, I'm just living my life as I'm daily going through my day. This happens, that happens, this happens. I'm aware of this. I'm constantly just in my mind, I'm conscious of God. God, you're in control. God, thank you, you're on the throne. God, praise you for this. And in my mind, I'm just constantly practicing the fact that God is present in my life. But it also means something else, and this is what I want us to really think about this morning together. This is what I want to learn. This is what was for me in this lesson. It also means, and I don't know how I put it there. Let me look. I just wrote it out. It also means a strong commitment where I am steadfast, where I endure, where I don't give up, and I don't quit. Now, you see this in the book of Acts. Let me just tell you what it says in chapter 1, verse 42. They're all up in the upper room, and they're in prayer. And it says in verse 42, and they continued steadfastly. I mean, they stayed at it for days in the upper room. If you go to chapter 2, you see the same thing. They continued in prayer. So it's more than just this general kind of, I'm conscious that God is on his throne and I can run to him at any time and I can beseech him when there are needs all around me. It's a little more than that. It's praying with an earnestness. It's being persistent. It's not letting go. Now, this is a very exciting dimension of prayer. And we're going to see it in a few of the parables. Now, turn to Luke 18. Keep your finger there in Colossians because we'll come back to it. Go to Luke 18. There's a parable there. And it's in verse 1 where I want you to look with me. And Jesus was telling a parable to show, verse 1 tells us, that men ought always to pray and not faint. I don't know about you, but I tend to get discouraged a lot of times. And a lot of times I'll think, oh, that's never going to change. That situation's never going to change. That person's never going to change. And I just tend to want to give up, throw the towel in. And this is why I get so excited about this Bible lesson today. I don't want to be that way. Because I want to be like this parable. That men ought always to pray and not faint. And this parable is a story of a judge in a city. And the Bible says he didn't fear God, he didn't fear man. But there was this widow in the city. And she had been wronged. And she goes to this judge and she pleads with him to avenge her because of her adversaries. She'd been wrong. She wanted justice. She brought it to the judge, and for a while he wouldn't do a thing. But look at verses 4 and 5. It says, but later he said, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she wears me out. I love that. I love that. Now, this is a divine lesson for us, ladies. Look at verse 7. Shall not God avenge his own elect, who cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Now, here's what we're learning. God will respond to those who will persevere in prayer and cry out to him day and night. I like what Paul said in Acts 20. He was writing to one of his churches. This is what he told them. I have not ceased to pray for you day and night for 3 years with tears. Now that's serious praying. That's earnestness in prayer. Day and night. He's wrestling in prayer about the churches. He's pouring out his heart to God. He's crying with real tears. And did God answer his prayer? You better believe it. In unbelievable ways. Now turn to Luke 11. There's another story about prayer that I want us to look at. And it really teaches the very same lesson. Look at verse 5 in Luke chapter 11. And here's what we see in this part of Scripture. It says, which of you will have a friend and shall go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. I'm hungry. The stores are closed. And I've got a friend who is coming and I need something to give him. And you see, here's this guy. He's downstairs and he's yelling at the window of his friend. And he's saying, I need some food. I've got some extra company popping in and I need 3 loaves of bread. Give it to me. And the man says, go away. It's late. We're in the bed. The door's locked. I can't get up. Have you ever had a call like that in the night? And look at verse 8. Jesus says there, even though he won't get up and give him the bread because he's his friend, but because he keeps on asking, he will get up and give him what he needs. That's perseverance. Now look at verse 9 and 10. Jesus said this right after that parable. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. In other words, be persistent. Don't give up. Storm the gates of heaven. Struggle with God in prayer. And you know, when you look at prayer this way, prayer is really combat. It's just like combat with God. You're struggling. You're wrestling. And we see that with Jacob. Do you know Abraham had Isaac? Isaac had Jacob and Esau. Jacob was going to Laban. He stopped in a place called Peniel. He spent the night there, and he actually wrestled with God physically. And he wouldn't let go. He said, I'm not letting go of you till you give me a blessing. And he got the blessing, but do you remember what else happened to him? What else did he get? He got a limp for the rest of his life when he struggled with God in prayer. But he said, I will not let go of you till you bless me. This is what we're talking about. Struggling with God in prayer. Not letting go. In Exodus, we see it with Moses. God was ready to wipe out all of the Israelites. And Moses went to God in prayer and said, don't do it. Don't do it. And if you're going to wipe them out, you're going to have to take me. He just pours out his heart to God. You see it in Genesis with Abraham. God's going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. It breaks his heart. God, don't do it. What if there are 50 righteous people? I'm struggling with you in prayer. God says, okay, I won't do it. What if there are 30 righteous people? What if there are 5? And he's struggling with God in prayer. You see it in the Psalms with David. He pours out his heart in prayer. He pours out. Now go back to Colossians 4 and look at the second part. So first of all, you continue in prayer. You persevere in prayer. You devote yourself to prayer. And then the next thing it says there is to watch. That's number 2, watch. And my version said keep alert in it. Watch or keep alert. Now what does that mean? It means to, in the Greek it means to stay awake. Stay awake. Now we see a good illustration of this in Matthew 26, and I'll just tell you about it. This was the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus took Peter, James, and John to the garden to pray. He was about to be crucified. They had just had the Last Supper, and their tummies were full, and it had been a long day. And they're like your husbands when they sit in the recliner after supper. What happens? They go to sleep. And Jesus said, now you stay here. I'm going to go a little further. But I want you to watch and pray, is what he told his disciples. And he goes a little distance and he begins to struggle in prayer. And he comes back and they're asleep. And he says to them, couldn't you stay awake for 1 hour? Stay awake. Pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Don't you experience that all the time? Don't go to sleep during your prayer. It's so easy to do that. Turn to 1 Peter 4:7. Let me show you another verse there. 1 Peter 4:7. Now this is what Peter says. But the end of all things is at hand. Now, because we're living in the last days, and that was 2,000 years ago when Peter said the end of all things are at hand, so you know we've got to be closer. I believe we're very close. What should our response be? Look at it in 4:7 there, 1 Peter 4:7. Be sober-minded and watch unto prayer. Be sober-minded. Pray is what he's saying. Watch. Look for the things that you ought to be praying about. Watch. Keep a record of your prayer request. Keep a prayer journal. I remember a story Esther Burroughs told. I don't know if you got to hear her when she was with us. Just such a precious lady. Her father was a pastor, and her mother was just kind of a plain woman, but she said her mother had these little bitty spiral little flip notebooks. And her mother, she observed this with her mom, would pray. She would put the date, jot the request, draw a line in the middle, and then she would come back and put the date that the prayer was answered. And so when her mom died, she got all those little prayer journals. She would go back and see where her mom had written the prayer request and the date. She was watching. She prayed and she watched. And she was sober-minded and she was alert to everything in her world that needed prayer. And she was very careful to pray. Now, ladies, that's what we need to do. We need to be very careful to pray. And then he adds one final thought there in the verse. And this is what he says, and do it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Now, that's very important. That's very important. We're to persevere in prayer, be devoted to it. We are to watch, and then we're to do it with thanksgiving. Even when we're wrestling with God about something that's very, very important to us. Something that we want so very, very desperately to happen. We are to do it with gratitude. Understanding, God, you are on the throne. You know what is best. Now, this is the fifth time in this little epistle, four chapters, that he's mentioned gratitude. Let's just go back and look at them. Look at verse 12 of chapter 1. Let's see what else he said about gratitude. You know, gratitude is really the key to having joy. Thanking God in everything. Not for everything, but in everything. You can praise him in everything. Because he's sufficient. His grace is there. Look at verse 12 of chapter 1. It says, giving thanks unto the Father, who has made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who delivered us from the power of darkness. And he's saying here, be thankful for your salvation. Now turn to verse 6 of chapter 2. It says there, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in faith, as you have been taught, abounding with thanksgiving. In other words, be thankful for your growth. And look at chapter 3, verse 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. That's to be thankful for your fellowship with Christ and with his body. And then in verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Be thankful that you have the privilege to serve him, whatever you do. And then here in verse 2 of chapter 4, be thankful that when you pray, you have the guarantee that God is going to answer in accord with what is best for you. No matter what happens in prayer, you can be thankful. So when we pray, number one, be thankful for God's presence. Be thankful for his presence. You have access to God. Did you hear what I said? You have access to the very throne room of God. He's accessible to you. He's there. Whatever the answer is, isn't it just great to know God's hearing me? He is there. He's bidding me to come and cast all my care upon him because he cares for me. I have that privilege. I can be thankful for that. And then number two, I can be thankful for his provision. He always provides the answer. He gives bread. He meets my needs. He provides for me. And then I'm thankful for his forgiveness. Listen to Romans 6:17. Thanks be to God that whereas we used to be the servants of sin, we have become now the servants of righteousness. I'm so thankful that he saved me. 1 Corinthians 15:57. Thanks be to God who always leads us in victory. Do you believe that? He always leads us in victory. That is so exciting. That victory is always mine. No matter what the answer that comes when I'm praying, it may not be the answer I want. No matter how God is working in my life, even if I come away limping like Jacob did, even if it costs me my very life, I can believe the word of God that the victory is always mine. Listen to 2 Corinthians 2:14. I love this verse. Thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph. Now you cannot lose in prayer. You may not get what you think is best, but you can not lose because you know God is going to give us better than we asked for. And we can always be thankful. Now what is Paul saying here? Pray. I mean, really pray. I mean, I want you to continue in prayer. I want you to be watchful. I want you to pray. I want you to watch. And you're to do it always with what kind of an attitude? Thanksgiving. Now, that's the hard part. That's the hard part. I know of a close personal friend that wanted something so very bad. So bad she could taste it. It was this close. And when it didn't happen, she was so angry about it. And she really was angry at God. I never get what I ask for, she said. I don't know why, but God never seems to come through for me. Is that true? That's not true. That's not praying with the spirit of thanksgiving. And I was praying along with her for what she wanted. I just prayed, God, please give her what she wants. Because I want her to have it too. It just didn't happen. And now she's got to work through all that. But you know, if you can pray with an attitude of thanksgiving, God, you know what's best. I'm trusting you. This is my heart. This is what I want. This is what I'm desiring. But God, you are God. And I bow to you. And no matter what, you're good. I love that little thing East Haven did years ago. God is good all the time. He's good all the time. And Paul is teaching us something about prayer here. Now listen. If an ungenerous, selfish, heartless neighbor, for whom a little sleep outweighs a friend, if that need for bread, if he could be coached to give a favor just because of persistence, and if a defenseless widow, because of her persistence, could move a hard-hearted judge to give her heart's desire, how much more, the Bible says, will our petitions, if we are in the same way, faithful, persistent, secure, as we come to God. God hears our prayers. And that's the speech of the new man. Do you know, in closing, I want to learn about prayer just specifically because as a mother, I pray for my children. And now as a grandmother, I pray for my grandchildren. And you know, God took Moses and called Moses and he said, Moses, what's that in your hand? And it was just an ordinary rod. And God took that rod and turned it into the rod of God. He turned it into something awesome. And he says to me, Teresa, you're a very ordinary person. Just live in a little ordinary town. Not very smart. In fact, I don't have much of a brain left. What's that in your hand, Teresa? Well, I have five children. And I'm fixing to have my 16th grandchild. They're right here. God, what? Oh, I love them so much. Don't you love your children and your grandchildren? And I say, God, what? Teresa, if you will persevere in prayer for your grandchildren and your children, if you will really wrestle with me in prayer, that's why I really want to learn how to be a more persistent prayer. I want to continue in prayer. I want to be devoted to prayer. I don't want to lose heart. I want to really hang in there. And I'm trusting Him. He's on His throne. He knows what's best. And I bow the knee to that. But I want to really persevere with prayer. I want to take what's in my hand and give it to Him. I want to see every one of my grandchildren come to Christ, don't you? I want to see every one of my children and their mates. I want to see them serving God faithfully. And ladies, I'm telling you, we have a platform with our God. We've been placed in Christ. We've taken off the new, the old, and we've put on the new. We are letting the peace of Christ rule in our hearts, the Word of God richly dwell with us, and whatever we do, we're doing it to glorify and honor our Lord. And then it's impacting our homes. It is. And then outside of that, we start moving into, well, what do? Well, I pray. And I not just pray, I'm going to persevere in prayer. I'm going to be a woman that perseveres in prayer. What would happen if all of us really started persevering in prayer? I mean, I think about our church. I mentioned our family, but let's just move it into the arena of our church. What if we really started persevering and continuing in prayer and watching for God to move in response to our prayers and then being thankful about it and glorifying Him? I want so badly to be a part of just a body that's just on fire and crazy for God, don't you? It's going to come through prayer. It's going to come through prayer. Prayer is the most powerful thing that we can do. It is. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? I really do want to be a woman that's persevering in prayer. I really, really do. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this challenging word in just one little verse this morning, that we're to be women who are devoted to pray, who are storming the very gates of heaven on behalf of our families, on behalf of our communities, our nation, our churches. God, forgive us because we're so complacent. We're so busy with our lives. Help us to just live our lives in an absolute God consciousness, practicing your presence every day in everything we do. And being women who immediately are devoted to prayer, watching, filled with thanksgiving, struggling with you, Father, laying our request before you. And Father, we pray that you would take this lesson, and may we as a result walk out of here, Father, and be women who are devoted to prayer. Continue stirring us up to be this new man that Paul talks about. What a wonderful privilege to be in Christ, to experience that transformation. May it affect our mouths, and may we bring praise and glory and honor to you. And we pray it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, we're going to kind of continue this lesson next week, still speaking about prayer, so you're not going to want to miss it.
Can I say something real quick about
Yes.
Speaking of prayer.